Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Everybody, it's been a while. We took a little break, a pre-summer break, a pre-spring break. Then there's going to be a spring break, and then there's going to be a summer break. We're actually, Jamal, we're getting like NBA players with load management.
Right. Yeah. Very important for their mental
load,
health.
Load management, you know, every other week. Ah, you know, West Coast spring, you know. But anyway, glad that you or listeners have not taken load management. You know, welcome to another version of Bill Roden on Sports. I'm here at a familiar undisclosed location, just outside of Manhattan, and talking to my friend and great co-host, great Jamal Murphy. Murph, what's happening?
Not much, Bill. Like you said, a nice break, took advantage of that break we had. Was at the Final Four in New Orleans. You were at the Women's Final Four in Minneapolis, right?
Where I caught COVID.
Oh, man.
I know that. I'm stunned. Now, I will say that I got a negative test last Sunday, so that was good news. But, okay. You know, I realized I had probably been, like everybody else, man, just too lax.
Yeah.
You know, going to the Women's Final Four, that was probably asking for it. Although you were down in New Orleans, which is like Sodom and Gomorrah. That's like the worst.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what's going on there. Remember, I had it in Christmas, you know, so late December. So, you know, supposedly they say you have about 6 months after having it where it's tough to get. Well, you know, we'll see. But I wore masks on the plane and in the airport and when I would go into new places, but you're right, you get lax with it. Nobody right. else has it on, you take it off.
Right.
You know.
You don't want to be the only one that people kind of looking at you, particularly Louisiana.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
people right. get you off. But yeah, I'm thinking how it is. When you're at these Final Fours, it's like a Petri dish. It's just like all these people crowd right, yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
So you just see the corona droplets just drenching this, you know.
Yeah.
So, think, man.
People thought it was over. Also, you know, people thought, "Oh, we're done with it." Even though we knew it was spiking in Europe, if you were paying attention, so we knew.
Well, nobody wants to deal with it.
Yeah, nobody wants to deal with it.
Yeah, they just want it to be over. Like it was like a bad dream.
Right.
Or like a Netflix movie, you know, that an eight part Netflix movie. Then the shit ends and everything is good.
With like three seasons, you know?
Yeah, three seasons. then you know, the hero comes out. By the way, I watched the Batman movie. Finally, a lot of my students been talking about the Batman. So I finally said, all right, man, that is one advantage of like dealing with the quarantine, you know, and just seeing how much shit you could binge and re-binge. And
there's
rewatch.
There's so much stuff to watch nowadays, I feel like, you know, with all these streaming services, Netflix, Hulu, all this stuff. There's so much to watch now.
Yeah, we're actually in the wrong business. We should be creating content outside of this. Maybe we should do a series based on a podcast. Two people start a podcast
right.
and the whole drama about the podcast or something and how to make that. Like riveting.
I'm sure that's gonna come out soon. We're gonna see a show about a podcast coming out pretty soon because there's a lot of people going through that.
Well, it should be ours.
Seriously, let me provide a word from our sponsors before we get started here. Of course, okay. Bros Pod is brought to you by Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA playoffs, fights, and even next season's futures. And don't forget that the MLB is back as well. Who are you picking to win the World Series? BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BELEAVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts.
I'm betting on the Los Angeles Dodgers to win the World Series. And I wrote a piece for Anscape. You know, I guess, when was the last time we did a podcast, man? There's been so much changing in the world. When was our last podcast?
I think it was
like two weeks.
Yeah, it was
3 weeks.
Post the Anscape rebrand.
Okay, so we've done Anscape's rebrand.
Right.
And I did my annual Jackie Robinson column.
Right.
And I was posing the question that since Jackie Robinson desegregated baseball and he was successful and his success opened the doors for more great Black players, which happened in each league, would the same thing happen if you had a superstar Black manager, the first superstar Black manager, sort of like the Tony La Russa or the who's the Yankees manager? Joe Torre. Joe Torre. If there was a superstar Black manager like that, would that subsequently open the doors for more Black managers? Anybody say, oh, okay, all right, well, we got to have, or Black Bill Belichick, you know, right. Somebody who won like 4 or 5 Super Bowls and was a constant present in the conference title game.
Right.
You know, would that, or even in basketball, have like the Black Red Auerbach.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, they're calling Ty Lue the Black Bill Belichick already because of what he's done with little talent with the Clippers.
Yeah, but you got to win championship.
He does have one with LeBron, remember? So yeah, but if he wins a few with the Clippers, then he can be on that status.
Yeah, it's got to be a few. You just can't be one because then they say, well, yes.
Yeah.
Like Mike Tomlin won one. Yeah. So what do you think about that? If there was a Black superstar manager or coach, do you think it would have the same impact on opening doors that, you know, having Black superstar athletes had when convincing owners gradually to open the floodgates to where the NBA is now 80% Black players and the NFL is like almost 70% Black players?
You would think so, but the way, you know, we understand the way racism works, they'd find a way to prevent it. You know, I mean, it might open the doors a little bit, but then there's still a force against you. You know, that force isn't going anywhere. So I think it would help a little bit, but I don't think it would help to the extent that we would hope. Just like everything else.
Right. Hope. Well, that's what they say with Dusty. Dusty's very successful. They would just keep hiring the same Black guy.
Right.
You know,
right.
Rather than like with Jackie, it led to, the brother in the American League.
Dobie.
Dobie.
Yeah.
Then there's Larry Dobie. Then there was this. Then there was Willie Mays. And then there was more, you know, or there was, you know, a couple of Black guys in the NFL. The next thing you know, but what they do, they just keep hiring the same Black coach. You know, it wouldn't lead to like, you know, yeah. I guess I actually spoke to Cito Gaston for the story because you know Cito Gaston was the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah,
and he won back-to-back World Series. I mean, back-to-back.
He did. World Series. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, Cito Gaston. If you look it up. Because people, that's the whole point, the problem.
Yeah, I remember Cito Gaston. I remember him being the manager of Toronto. But they won back-to-back World
Series. They won back-to-back World Series championships. And then they had 3 seasons where they had losing seasons. They fired him. And he didn't get another job for like 8 years until Toronto hired him back. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that in itself is amazing. You know, there's no world where a white coach wins 2 championships and doesn't get another opportunity.
Well, for life. In other words, you become professor emeritus. you become emeritus.
Right.
You know, a manager. But no, so I was realizing maybe that was just wishful thinking.
I have a question about the Black. I've been thinking about the Black manager in baseball. And because of the racial dynamics now in baseball, where you have so few Black players. Is it, should we, can we still, because you can't use that same, the same argument we use in football and basketball where, you know, 80% or 70% of the players on the field are Black. So therefore we need more Black coaches.
It's probably a flawed argument, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably, I mean, in other words, when you, you're right, I'm not sure where you're going with the question, mm-hmm. but if you're arguing that, you know, we should be having a Black coach in hockey,
right?
Or Black, you know, and the only, if your only argument is, well, because we have so many Black players in basketball, well, then we should have a comparable number of Black coaches. But then what happens if, when it shrinks, or you mean there are no competent Black baseball managers? So I think you're kind of,
right,
you have to be, be careful of arguing that. You have to be arguing fair play on his merits, not because the league is 100% Black. That's right. Almost an extreme.
Right.
Like, it's an extreme form of pointing out blatant racism.
Right.
Whereas you got in Major League Baseball, you know, Dave Roberts, who's done a great job with the Dodgers, and Dusty Baker has done a great job, period.
Right.
And there are probably other, you know, young Black guys who have played who could probably be very capable managers.
Right. And it's almost the argument in reverse. It's almost like in terms of white coaches in other sports, white coaches in football and baseball, where there are so few players, but they still make room for them to be managers. Why can't we have that in baseball?
You know, exactly.
Why can't we be treated equally as the way you are in football and basketball? You know?
Right. Yeah, we be that way. Yeah. Well, they don't play, but they manage like hell. You
know? Right. Well, we're just smart. We don't have to be on the field. We know.
Well, we don't have to, like, and then even that with the Latin players.
Right.
You know, there's so many, like 30% of the in Major League Baseball is Latin.
Right.
And it's not like you have like anything close to that in managing.
Right.
You don't have, you know, you know, you have like 15% Latin players, and there's no hue and cry.
Right.
And I'm not sure if the Latin players are just, hey, man, let's just let us collect the money and just leave us alone, you know.
Yeah, kind of like the Black ones.
Yeah. So you know. I've always wondered, like, it just seems like, I know what's the name, got in trouble. Who's the brother who played with the Yankees a while back? Gary Sheffield.
Yeah.
And he got in a lot of hot water because he was talking about that. He said, man, these guys, they don't really want to say anything. They don't want to rock the boat.
Right.
You know, they just want to collect the money and, you know, and after the season, you know, go back and live their best lives. They don't want to be talking about, you know, we need more Latin managers. We need more, you know.
Right. Which they do. I don't know what the numbers are. But that's, you know, in terms of like the classic football basketball argument in terms of the disparity.
It's the same argument.
Yeah, it's the same argument for the Latin players now.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think Alex Cora may be, I'm not sure. I mean, if you look at the manager, I don't know. There's like
probably two or three. I have to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe who we should have on the show. We haven't had him on for a long time. Omar Minaya.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Well, get Omar Minaya on the show.
Yeah.
It's baseball season. We gotta, you know, talk about that. Because, you know, and I think a lot of times, man, you know, y'all don't bring that shit in. You know, that's your issue, you know. we're living our best lives, you know.
right.
Anyway, but listen, man, getting back to the script, you know, we're in the middle of the NBA playoffs.
Right.
You would ask me, I told you, we started talking about movies, which we don't really do a lot of that stuff. But I told you, when I was in quarantine, I watched The Batman, mm-hmm. which a lot of my students at Arizona State were talking about. And I spent 3 hours doing that. And at the end, I'm like, really?
It wasn't good. I haven't seen it.
I don't know. But you were telling me, we flipped to that. Do you ask me, did I see Winning Time?
Right, you got come
about
on.
The Lakers.
Come on, Bill.
And I said, man, I cannot. I just look at the advertisement. And I mean, look at Magic looking like, you know, well, like a buffoon, you know.
I mean, well, first of all, the guy, I forget, I should have this guy's name. I feel bad. The person who's playing him is doing a great job. First of all, he looks like him, smiles like him. talk like the actors, everybody playing these roles, playing Dr. Buss, playing Riley.
Who did they get to play Kareem? What 7 foot two?
Well, I don't think he's definitely not 7 foot, but they just make him look taller than everybody else. In
what they do, they get a bunch of like, well, I don't want to say the word.
I think it's camera work, you know, camera tricks. You know?
But let me ask you a question. Did Magic and all of them have to sign off?
No way. That's what makes it great, Bill. we talked about The Last Dance. This is it. You know, I keep hearing that the Lakers themselves, like Jeannie Buss, the Buss family wants to come out with some kind of documentary telling their side of the story. Magic Johnson wants to come out with his own, documentary or whatever, telling his side of the story. So they're after being forced to respond to this. You've been on, Jeff Perlman, you've been on his podcast. It's based on his book. His book was called Showtime. Could not use Showtime as the name. HBO did not want to call something Showtime because they're one of their competitors is Showtime. So they changed the name to Winning Time. It's still based on Perlman's book. And I guess that's loosely based on his book. I've heard him in other podcasts, like people have asked him, like, whether he depicted people this way, and he was like, "Hey, man, you know, they made it into a movie, you know, so they are."
Is he getting paid? Did he get money?
Yes, he definitely got money from it. No question about it. He's in the credits and everything.
Oh well, another white guy on Easy Street. another resident on Easy Street.
That's what it had me thinking. I need to come out with a book like that, that they're gonna get a TV show into. But
I thought was going to happen with $40 million slaves.
Hey, man,
you know, Carmelo.
yeah, seriously. What's up? What's up, Melo? Do something. I mean, that's a great
show. We're going to do dribble and shoot.
but the show,
you like it.
The show is great, man. It's just like, but you know, the 80s Lakers is the first team I grew up on. Like when I was starting to watch basketball about like 85 or so, that was the Lakers and Celtics. I was a huge Laker fan. It was Magic versus Bird. I was all Magic all the way. Kareem, of course. Jamal. I even remember Jamal Wilkes. He had my name. Like, we remember he was actually on our show, one of the first shows.
Yeah, we had Jamal on our show.
Yeah, that was great. But so no, they go through the whole thing with Buss buying the team and how it came about, and they're in LA and Buss being this wild guy, you know. Magic coming into the league, they deal with all their problems and all the stereotypes about them and all the rumors about them. So really, each character is really a caricature like that. And people have gotten mad about this because I think they went into this show, you know, as if it were a documentary. So for instance, the big thing was, you know, the way they depicted Jerry West in the first couple episodes was him being this crazy, coming from a rough upbringing and, never having won enough, you know, did he win it all? Did he win a championship?
He did. He won one title.
Right. But out of how many chances and how this stuck with, how it stuck with him. And he was just a miserable person. He was a miserable coach, was not a good coach. As he, you know, the first episode, he throws his championship trophy through the window of his office. Like, they just had him going crazy. And then the reaction, particularly amongst white, you know, sports people in the business, was they were like just so mad at the way he was being depicted. Like, their hero was being depicted like this. They just couldn't take it. You know, it was like, oh no, I don't like this show because he wasn't like that. Yeah, no, everybody knows Jerry West wasn't like that. He wasn't like that. They depicted him as not wanting Magic Johnson, like he had wanted no parts of drafting Magic Johnson.
Wow.
But he actually admitted that since then. Jerry West has admitted that he didn't want Magic at first. So, I mean, there is a lot of truth in it, but they make every character a caricature. So
you said they had Kareem being pro-black with a white girlfriend.
Yeah, they have him being pro-black, reading the Quran, praying. but have, you know, having a white girlfriend, you know, right. They have him being very late, like refusing to do, like he was very like selfish, a very selfish teammate at the beginning, like not wanting to run the sprints and not liking Magic Johnson and not talking to any of the team. You got to watch it, man. Cause you were there for that too. You were there for those times. You got to tell me, I need you to watch this to tell me what's true and what's not.
Well, I wouldn't, you know, Hugh Perelman was, I don't know. I just know one of Corrine's girlfriends burned his house down. I don't know if they had that.
Really? So maybe that's coming.
Yeah, not intentionally.
Oh, okay.
But I kind of knew her.
Uh-huh. Was she white or black?
She's white.
See, I didn't know if they were taking liberties with him even having a white girlfriend or not.
He definitely had a white girlfriend.
Oh, really? Okay. So yeah, I didn't. So there you go. So that wasn't fake, you know? Mm. So in fact, Kareem actually responded to that. And I believe it was today. You know, he blogs, or, you know, he has his own like Substack,
right?
Where he writes, and he responded to, you know, he wrote something this morning, and he was responding to people asking him, you know, if he had watched Winning Time, and he said he finally got around to it. He didn't want to watch it at first, but he finally got around to it, and he basically just slammed it. He was like, I don't care. He basically was like, I don't care what they say about me. I've heard everything. I'm 75 years old. I've heard everything. Nothing's going to bother me. But, you know, they got me in there saying, telling a little white kid, fuck you. He was, fuck off. I never did that. He said, I never did that. And the problem is, if, you know, if they put stuff in there like that, like I have this foundation and now people won't want to support my foundation because I told a kid fuck off. So he's like, the real ramifications for this kind of stuff they're doing. He also tried to attack the show in general, saying that it wasn't that entertaining and that funny. I beg to differ.
Jamal just gave us 8 minutes about how entertaining it is.
I beg to differ, Kareem. A subject of the show cannot really give a true critique of the show. Right. You know what I mean?
We should. Did we had Kareem on the show, right?
We did. We had Kareem on.
We have during our CBS our time at CBS. Yes. We got booted out of CBS.
I don't know if Kareem would come on and talk to us about the show. He seems a little mad about it. You know.
Yeah.
And he also said one of the things he says. You know, they make magic out to be this like, you know, the sex fiend with and that's it. Like they don't, you know, no depth, which is not true. I mean, I think they do. Like I said, everybody's a caricature now. So they take, like, as Kareem, they make fun of Kareem. They make fun, you know, Magic Johnson. They definitely deal with how he's, you know, he's sleeping with all these women. The last episode, I hate to be a spoiler, but he's talking to Cookie. He's trying to convince her to be with him, and he's a good guy and all this stuff. And then, you know, they have a intimate moment, and then she leaves, and then her best friend comes out of the shower. So I get why if I were them, I wouldn't like this either. Okay. Don't get me wrong. If I were any of the characters in this show, I would be pissed. Okay.
Right.
But that doesn't, if it was true, I'd be pissed. If it were false, I'd be pissed. You know, right. So it doesn't really say that much, but you know, Magic.
But at least in Magic, the problem is
it's true.
The whole thing with AIDS stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, when there's smoke, there's fire. Unfortunately,
and how many times has he admitted to the fact that he got AIDS because he was sleeping with tons of women.
Right.
So you've already admitted it. So what are you talking about?
we're just saying, here are the tons. Here's the tonnage.
we're showing you the tons. That's what we're doing.
Oh man! So now I'm sure. When is the ESPN Showtime going to come out with the story of the Bad Boy Pistons? Or the, you know, everybody's going to have their, like, you know, oh, brother.
It's great.
I don't know, man.
But they do. But I'm telling you, they do everybody dirty. That's what's fair about the show.
What can they say about Jamal Wilkes? What can they say about him?
Nothing much. You know, like some guys that they're, you know, they're just kind of bland characters. Wilkes so far has been that. They're making Michael Cooper out to be, because this was, you know, it starts in 1979-80. So Michael Cooper was a second year player. They're making him out to be kind of green and trying to, you know, kind of like naive. But Riley is funny. Okay. So Riley, remember at the time he was a broadcast. He was like on the broadcast team.
Right.
With Chick Hearn. Right.
Right.
And they make him out to be basically like some beach bum who needed a job. He was like a beach bum, unsure of himself, insecure because he had a good playing career and he didn't know what to do with his life. He joins. And then they have Paul Westhead as like this way in over his head assistant coach at first. And then they show how, who was it? McKinney at the time has a bike accident. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He had the bike accident. And then Westhead has to take over and he's in over his head, but he brings Riley in because Riley's better with, you know, personal relationships. And then Riley becomes an assistant and Riley's basically trying to shake Westhead into the job, you know? So it's fascinating, especially I wasn't around it for the early stages of that. I know it's not gospel, but it's based on truth, and they're just exaggerating everything.
About Norm Nixon? They have Norm Nixon.
Norm Nixon is one of the best characters in the show. He's like, you know, feels threatened by magic, not just on the court, but off the court with the women. He's threatened by what's going on there. You know, Norm Nixon's son, Devon Nixon, plays him. He plays Norm Nixon in the show.
Oh, is that
his
right?
Son. Yeah, his son is playing Norm Nixon.
Because, you know, he married Debbie Allen.
Wow.
And they had a daughter who was an actress.
Okay.
So Norm Nixon's son plays Norm Nixon.
Yeah, he plays Norm Nixon. And wow. He's one of the funniest characters in the show, always cracking jokes, at one moment he's trying to like.
Where do you think they get inside shit about, you know, I mean.
It's coming from somewhere.
But you talk about magic? Oh man.
Oh man. Oh man. Oh man. It's entertaining. It's just I watched Downton Abbey for you. I watched some of that.
Wait a minute. You never told me about that. Downton Abbey.
I started watching Gilded Age on HBO, oh, yeah. Which is basically like a spinoff of Downton Abbey.
Right, it's the Americanized version of that.
Yeah, so I started watching that also with my wife. So,
she made me watch it, but
it's on. So I'm like, oh, let me, you know, I like Gilded Age. Let me watch this.
All right, so how many episodes is it?
I think we're about 6 or 7 in. This is the first season, and they're about 6 or 7 episodes in so far. But it's great. Man. You know, I mean, as long as you don't take it. And I know you won't. You don't care. Like, you know, as long as you don't take it too personally, it's like the people who don't want to see Jerry West slandered or take offense to stuff like that.
If they did a piece on Muhammad Ali, you know,
right?
And it was not him talking about the draft and all that. It was all the other shit. You know?
right. but they tried to. You know, they put the other stuff in there. Like Kareem, Kareem is upset, but it's not. They're not just. It's not all bad with Kareem. There are good scenes with Kareem where he's trying to keep Magic in line. Right. And he has a great conversation with Magic's father. You know, so it's both ways. But of course, it's entertainment. So they're going to boost it. I'm not joking. When every character is a caricature, it's, you know, Riley.
But you said they didn't really screw with Jamal Wilkes. I mean, what could you say about Jamal?
Yeah, not yet. I mean, he hasn't. Only time we ever see Jamal Wilkes is in the practice scenes and in the locker room scenes. You know, Spencer Haywood. They screw with him a little bit. You know what I mean? So,
oh really?
I guess he had a drug issue. He was coming off a drug issue. He was like an old veteran at the time, which he wasn't getting playing time, and he was fighting with the coach. So they're messing with Haywood a little bit. They mess with him. Mm. There's some funny locker room scenes with Haywood. So,
oh man,
we should get him on because we've talked to him before.
Yeah, we should get him. Actually, we should get anybody who will come on.
Right. Right.
You know, Kareem's probably a no.
No.
Magic's probably a no.
Yeah, right.
Norm Nixon.
Maybe Wilkes.
Yeah. Why don't we ask Jamal to come on?
Yeah. I'm sure
he'd ask Jamal to come on.
Because they haven't messed with him at all. So he might not be upset about it. You know?
Right. Right. Except if he comes on, then they'll put some shit in there about We were gonna spill the beans about this. It's like with Marcus Allen, they did the Marcus Allen story at him with O.J. Simpson's, you know,
right,
you know,
right. Which they've done all this stuff. I mean, O.J. I'm sure Marcus Allen. They have depicted Marcus Allen in some of these O.J. Movies. So, I mean, you know, but that's the thing. You know, it's just it's entertainment. You know, nobody's saying this is 100% truth, but a lot of it you can tell. It's based on truth. We were around at the time. I was even telling my wife watching the last episode where they were depicting, you know, remember Johnny Most, Chick Hearn, the way they were calling the game. They're calling the same game and being homers. And it was over the top homerism and over the top taking shots at the other team. And I'm like, they're just exaggerating, but they really did this. That's really how they called the game. It really was homers, galore and taking shots and all subtle shots. They're just exaggerating it. That's all.
I sure wish I could think of this documentary. There's some show I was binging, and that was a thing based almost all about the truth for the most part, but I can't think of it. But anyway, so now we talk about, let's go from the fiction of the Lakers, you know, the real Lakers. I mean, I don't even want to waste any time on that. But what do you thought about the playoffs? I mean, so far the story of the playoffs has been Nets in Brooklyn, the great first game,
right,
overshadowed by, of course, Kyrie. You know, I was thinking, oh, you know, now he's fasting, which I don't want to get on people fast. It's always something with Kyrie, you know.
Right,
it's always something with a vaccine. Now it's Ramadan, which to all our Muslim brothers, I respect it.
Right.
You know, and all that, because I think Jaylen Brown is fasting too.
Mm.
You know, but what was your take on Kyrie? You know, he just got fined. Today is Tuesday. He just got fined $50,000 for flipping off the Boston fans.
Yeah, I mean, this is one time where I have no problem with Kyrie in terms of how, you know, I don't care if he gives some Boston fans the finger. They're screaming and yelling at him, cursing at him the whole game. And he's playing well. Like, the thing is, he's playing the games. He's playing well. He seems to be in a good space in terms of mentally, as far as on the court. Like, he's playing really well this year in the games that he's played and has continued. I wondered whether in the playoffs things would change. He's playing at Boston. I wonder whether that would get into his head. Remember, to me, Kyrie in the past has always been kind of hit or miss in the playoffs. Like, he's had great performances, but then he's also had, when he was at Boston, he laid an egg when he played with them in the playoffs. So I was wondering, you never know exactly what you're going to get, but he seems to be in that great place, you know, mentally on the court, where he's just performing at a very high level. So that's good.
Yeah, great first game.
Yeah, great first game. And that's a good sign, I think. You know,
except the last play of the game, he kind of blew it. In that it was Tatum who, how do you lose track of Tatum? I have no idea, you know.
Well,
because I was actually, you know, I was actually pulling for Brooklyn, because it would be nice to see them, particularly for Durant's sake.
Right.
You know, Durant is such a solid a guy, unless HBO does the Kevin Durant story.
Right. You never know.
Let's take everybody you think you know.
But – no, I think, but talking about the game, if you're the Nets, I think you got to be happy with that. I mean, you lost by 1 point at Boston. Durant didn't have a good game. He had one of his worst playoff games in recent memory.
But what happened if that's because of Boston?
I just doubt it, because I just, over the past, 4 or 5 years, seeing Kevin Durant, you know, I've seen him respond to great defense and all that kind of stuff. He's really he's basically unguardable. You know, he's going to miss shots. I think this was his game where he missed shots. And maybe I'll give Boston credit. They came with the physicality. Maybe he wasn't prepared for it that game, but he's prepared for it now, you know? So I think he comes in with a different mentality. So, and as long as Kyrie keeps playing at that level, I think you gotta feel okay with the Nets' chances. It's unfair to Boston, really, to play a 7 seed with that much talent.
Yeah, well, the tragedy is Ben Simmons. Because
right.
I think if Ben Simmons was the Ben Simmons, right, I think that there's almost no doubt that Brooklyn might be the favorite.
Yeah,
you know, with Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant.
Right.
It's almost like they're a step behind. They're like a season behind.
Right. And they're saying, you know, Simmons actually, I believe it when I see it, but they're saying he has a pretty good chance of playing in this series, but he won't be, obviously he's not going to be, you know, at peak Ben Simmons. I mean, he hasn't played in over a year. So who knows what you get out of it.
But maybe all they need to do is play defense.
Yeah. And rebound. Yeah. I mean, the guy's 6'10", you know, so he adds a lot to them. He adds size, speed, defense. So, you know,
we'll see. They said that they had a practice with a guy. He told the guy to film him. And film him dunking. Then somebody says, "Now you're dunking."
and it was a very weak dunk, by the way. I was like, "Why do you want to film that? Like, what is that? you look like your back hurts." To tell you the truth,
right?
Well, let me ask you about Kyrie, though. What do you think about, you know, obviously the Boston Garden and long history, how they treat everybody and how they've treated him. And do you have a problem with the way with him, like, yelling back?
No, no, not really. I mean, I think, you know, we talk about this whole dynamic of these, all these stadiums with all these mostly white fans,
right,
and all these, most these brothers,
right,
you know, and I, that's always a combustible combination. And I think it's like a miracle of the NBA. You have all these stadiums upon stadiums of white fans and all these black players. And it's just such a wildest dynamic, you know. And many of these fans probably, this is probably the most contact they'd have with black people,
right,
in their day-to-day lives.
Right.
And so, you know, so particularly somebody like Kyrie, who they feel steps out of line, right, you know.
Big time,
yeah,
big time.
Yeah, steps out of line. And again, it's not everybody,
right,
at TD Bank Stadium, right, but it's, I'm sure it's kind of representative in a way,
right,
you know. But no, I mean, I think that I thought that I went to the Garden right in the midst of COVID when there were no fans and all that. And I think I went to the Garden the first time they let people. I think it was the Knicks playing Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, with Trae Young.
And I went. And I was thinking, well, maybe fans, because they were kept out of arenas and all that, maybe all these fans would be kind of humble. And of course, first thing, like, fuck Kyrie. I mean,
fuck Trae Young. Yeah.
Fuck Trae Young. And then you're hitting, I think Trae Young got hit with some water, and then Westbrook. So it's something about the fans, you know, that, there's something there. Maybe that's what we could do our book that makes it into a book. Although, are they going to make that into a book if you demonize white fans?
No
are way. They going? Is HBO going to make that shit into a movie?
They'll pass on that one. They'll pass.
Like Lynch, like compared to like the Lynch mob, you know. Well, I don't know. That's a little too much. I don't know. You know? Yeah,
people are going to want to watch this. Come on.
Yeah, they're not going to watch that. It's garbage. Maybe that's what we should do. We should do a black man's view of fan, you know. Oh. And Kyrie will be the executive producer.
Oh no! Yeah. Oh no! Yeah. No, I mean, and Kyrie said himself, he was like, you know, you got these. I mean, he was basically explicit in what he was saying. He said, you know, they're telling me fuck me, calling me pussy, calling me this that. He was like, but we're supposed to be docile, and that's anything. Right. Like he was like, forget that. It's the playoffs. That's what he said. So. And right. So I mean, I don't have any problem with him saying, if a fan is cursing you out, I'm not going to ask you to do something I wouldn't do. You know,
right.
I don't know if I could be that good where some fans are cursing me out. I don't say anything back.
But what about the black players on Boston? You know, right. I mean, they just say, hey, man,
they like me.
that's exactly Kyrie, that's your problem. As opposed to them saying, listen, this is our brother. This is right. just a game, but you guys are stepping over the line. You know,
I mean, if they were calling the N word, the players would say something. You know what I'm saying? I guess there's a,
you think so.
I've seen it like in Utah. Donovan Mitchell, I think when Westbrook had that problem in Utah, Donovan Mitchell right. came out, you said, told the fans they can't act like that. I think at that line, but anything below that line, they're gonna
right, right. Hey man, this is working for us.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. We don't want you to make the shot either.
That's right. What do you think about so of course when you hear this they'll be in game two. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the rest of the playoffs? We've got your boy Jokic looks like he's going to be back-to-back MVP.
Right.
I'm listening to this radio show and I'm thinking, you know, the Great White Hope is live and well. Now I know they're going to pull out some black guys who voted for him, you know.
Yeah. There are a lot of black guys voted for him, yeah.
Yeah, maybe like Jason Whitlock or something.
Yeah, he definitely did. But he definitely voted.
His perennial all-star.
He might have voted for Luka. But I mean, here's the thing with the joke, and I was talking about this earlier today. If you look at the pure statistics from the season, Jokic probably is your guy. Okay, because I mean the points, rebounds, and assists, and all even the analytics, they point to him. Right? I mean, like
he's the analytic MVP.
Oh, he's so definitely he's definitely the analytic MVP, but he's also like the what they call now counting stats. You know, this is the analytics people will try to make you feel bad by saying you're looking at counting stats. And I'm always like, the score is a counting stat. That's the most important stat there is the score of a game. That's a counting stat. So what are you even talking about? But if you look at, you know, Jokic compared to Embiid, and I would have picked Embiid as the MVP personally.
Well, everybody would have picked Embiid. Well, not obviously everybody did not.
So. It really comes down to it. When you looked at it, Embiid, Giannis, and Jokic were the top three, right? Right. So you look at Embiid and Jokic, similar points. I think Embiid a little more, like 30 to 27 or something like that. Similar rebound. But Jokic is also averaging about 9 assists, whereas these other guys are not even close to that, right? So him statistically, he probably wins that argument. But, you know, I mean, Westbrook averages a triple-double every year. It doesn't translate. He won one MVP, and after that, he kept doing it. They took it away. You know, they were like,
So we say, knowing what you know now, we're at the draft. We're the first pick of the NBA draft. Mm. You've got Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis. Oh. So the first pick in the NBA draft, who are you going to pick?
I'm picking Giannis, and I'm picking Embiid, two, and then in Jokic. I think, because when I look at it, when they, you know, Jokic has, what has he really done in terms of, you know, leading his team to like major playoff wins or series wins? He hasn't done that. People used to get on Giannis about that. You know, Giannis won two MVPs before he won in the playoffs, and people disparaged him for it. So I wonder if that same thing will happen, because Jokic is expected to be the MVP this year. He's expected to win the vote. But if you ask me in a game, like if Embiid and Jokic were playing each other, who do I want? I want Embiid. If Giannis and Jokic were playing each other, I want Giannis. I mean, that's where it comes down to for me.
Right.
And there's no doubt that the whole Great White Hope plays into that, at least subconsciously for a lot of the voters.
I know. I think it always plays into that. I mean, you know, better for worse, racism has everything to do with almost everything we do. And I know that if we were on this radio show I'm talking about, you know, you hear him all the time, whether it's, you know, Frank's show or, you know, anytime I found when you have a white guy, mm-hmm. And you bring up race, unless you're one of the appointed callers, black callers, and you kind of know, you know, and you bring it up. Oh, come on. You know how it is. The first thing is, oh, come on. Oh,
right.
Oh, why do you always have, well,
so,
you know.
So defensive.
Oh, man, is it me? I can see Carlos George, race, it's a great way. Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely getting it. As if it doesn't exist.
Right.
How many examples do you have to give? Like, it's so crazy. Like, it's almost in a playbook. Like, you have to deny it. You have to act astonished that is being brought up. But even the person acting like that has to admit it's there.
But it's almost like, don't want to hear it. It's like, it's almost like, how could you say that has nothing to do with it? Nothing. And then sometimes I think if the partner's a brother, sometimes a brother, almost part of his gig, his longevity of his gig, is to kind of go along with the shit, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Is to say, well, you know.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know. I mean, in this case, I don't really know.
right. But yeah. I mean, so it's there. You know, you're always going to hear Jokic as a smart player.
And Luka, same thing with Luka, you know. And again, this is not to say that they're not really good.
Yeah, they are really, really good.
They are really, really good. But they, you know, but it's like Gil Scott-Heron had one of his things, who paid reparation on my soul. And there was one line he said, you never dig sharing. You always had to have the most. And that's the same thing. You just—it's not enough just to be really good. You've got to be like the greatest of all time, and the best of it has to be this Tarzan thing, you know. So that's the only issue. But anyway, but he'll be the MVP. So and then Golden State. Golden State looks like, you know, again, that seems to be a team that white people really like too. You know, well,
people say, you know, the nice light skinned guys, Steph Curry and Clay. I hear that a lot, you know.
Yeah, right. And also playing, you know, team ball, you know,
right.
Playing the ball the way it's supposed to be, you know, right. As opposed to in ball.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, passing, unselfishness.
Unselfish play. Yeah. We love Curry. So humble. That's what he's so humble.
Even though, I mean, I'm watching him last night.
He ain't humble on the court.
Yeah, he's hitting threes, shimmying, dancing. I'm thinking to myself, if I was an opposing player, I would have punched this dude in the face right now.
Right, yeah. Like you throw his ass like in 20s.
You know, so he's not all that humble, really. It's,
well,
as
Steve Kerr said, he's humble off the court, arrogant on the court.
Right.
So which we can take with our black athletes. You know, we like you to be arrogant on the court and humble off it.
Right.
You know, not like that Kaepernick guy. Kaepernick guy who's, you know, come on, Jesus.
we don't want you to be that as confident off the court as you are.
No, we want you to, you know, be confident in the field. You know, how much corn can you shuck? How many bales of hay can you carry? Right. You know, but don't use that strength to burn down my house. You know,
right.
So,
I think the series I would really want to see. I mean, and would be the most entertaining to me in a final would be Brooklyn versus Golden State. I mean, that would just be great. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, you got Phoenix. I think, which is most people's favorite because they had such a great regular season.
Yeah.
They're kind of a machine out there.
We didn't even mention Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix is, you know, they play tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday or Wednesday? Yeah. Today's Wednesday.
Today's Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. Is it?
Isn't it? Well, hold on for a minute. Alexa, what day is it?
Today is Tuesday, April
19th.
It's Tuesday.
My fault. Today's Tuesday. We're recording this on a Tuesday evening. So you got Phoenix plays New Orleans again. That's going to be an easy series for them. So, I mean, really, you know, you got Phoenix, Golden State in the West, I think most people. And then Memphis has a chance. They also play tonight. And then in the East, you know, I mean, it's a crap.
Miami.
Got Milwaukee, Miami, Boston, and the Nets.
I know. And I'd say the Nets, if only there was a healthy Ben Simmons, I think that would be
– Yeah.
Although their supporting cast was pretty good, I mean they pushed Boston to the brink.
Yeah, and they kind of fleeced Philly, I believe, in that trade.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean they gave up Harden, who has not been he's not the James Harden that we remember even pre-pandemic or when he first got to Brooklyn. He hasn't even been that guy. Definitely not the Houston guy. You know, I think all the partying and stuff has caught up to him. He looks older. You know what I mean? He looks older than he is, really.
Yeah.
And so you send him to Philly and you get back Seth Curry, who's been great for you. You got Drummond, who's a big man. You know, so you were able to, and then Simmons, even though he's not doing anything for you this year, you got to figure next year, and if you he's signed to a four-year deal. I mean, to me, that's a fleecing. You know, Harden is a free agent after the season. There's no way I'm giving that guy $250 million. And if if Maury, you know, the GM Maury does that, I don't know. You know, I don't know. He's supposed to be a genius. I can't see it.
Yeah, he'll sign with the Nets, with the Knicks. He'll sign with the Knicks.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Bros Pod is also brought to you by Credit Karma. Are you paying down old credit card debt? A personal loan could be your solution. Loans usually come with fixed monthly payments, making them a simple way to help pay off your credit cards. Plus, loans usually have lower interest rates than credit cards do, and Credit Karma can help you find the best option for you. Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you can get approved for. Credit Karma will even show you your chances of approval, so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, won't affect your credit scores, and could save you money. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Again, that's creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers. Credit Karma, apply with more confidence today.
Sign me up.
Yes, and we are also brought to you by Athletic Greens. Tons of people take multivitamins, but it's important to choose one that is top quality. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. Their special blend of ingredients support gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's also lifestyle-friendly and fits a wide range of diets. There's only 1 gram of sugar and no chemicals or artificial anything. Reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/believe. That's B-L-E-A-V. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/believe. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Athletic Greens, take ownership of your health.
Okay. Do we get any product? Wouldn't it be great to get product?
I think we do. I think if we ask for it, we can get it. Oh, I'll try that Athletic Greens.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that's healthy. I thought it was a thing for golf to put greens in your backyard, you know, to put like, you know.
So you practice your putting.
Yeah. And, you have one of these acreage of the backyard.
That'd be nice.
Hey, listen, so to close things out, we talked about Jokic as a great white hope, but COVID, you know, we both had our little bouts of COVID.
Right.
And I got to tell you, you were at the Final Four. I was at the thing, and I'm looking at these games, man. And you see all these games like packed arenas, no masks. And I don't even think now, you know, the airlines, you know, the judge in Florida, of course, Wales, have rescinded the mask mandate. So we're basically back to the Wild West, you know, like people just said, fuck it. You know, this shit is over. They've declared COVID over.
Right. And you know, I was looking at the numbers a couple of days ago, and what did stick out to me was the percentage of vaccination rate. And, you know, in different states, like in New York, for instance, 90% of people are vaccinated. So I guess that will be one of the differences. I mean, COVID is still here, but there are more people vaccinated. You know, even when you look down south, the bad numbers are like still like 60%, you know, vaccinated. So you have more vaccinated people. It's the people who have refused to get vaccinated.
Kyrie.
Yeah, those are the people that need to be careful, especially, you know, the older ones who have any kind of comorbidities.
Right. Yeah. So I'm thinking of, you know, once they say they dropped the mask mandate on planes.
Yeah.
I was like,
I don't want to get on a plane with no. I'll hold off until
you on your own
either goes away or they put that mask mandate back, because you know it was a district judge who made that ruling, so you would assume that could be overturned also. So hopefully,
well, by whom? That, you know, true. One thing your boy did is put a bunch of his clones.
Oh man,
like. Everywhere, including, you know, so
yeah, no,
I don't know, man.
It is terrible.
I'm contemplating a cross country drive to Arizona to teach my last final class of the semester at the end of the month on the 28th. But I also got to get my typewriter I got from there. Mm. So, you know, I'll be listening to the NBA player. Maybe while I'm in Phoenix, maybe I'll even go to a game.
Yeah.
Masked.
Exactly. Yeah, and they're not. I guess these places aren't checking vaccinations anymore.
Well, remember that used to give you some degree of confidence. You go to a restaurant and you have to show your vaccination card. Now, I guess they're just saying, hey, you don't have to show a shit.
Right.
You know, just come in and, you know. Now, I noticed a lot of staff are still wearing masks, because I guess they're saying, depending on the type of mask you get, it can give you some type of protection.
Right. And I think it's probably smart to wear masks at these events, period. If you're going to be around a whole bunch of people, it's not like they're banning masks. They're just saying that, people don't have to wear them. So I think if you're—
And they're making you look like a—
Wear them.
Now you feel like this fucking outlier.
Yeah.
If you come in there with your mask and people are kind of like, you're raining our parade for, what the hell's wrong with you?
Right. No, yeah, it especially works when, you have friends or people in your circle aren't wearing the mask.
And right.
You're the only person and you're having this conversation. There's like 10 people and one person is masked. But, some people don't care. Like, you got to be that person that just doesn't care. I know when I was at the Nets game, the play-in game, I wore a mask whenever I was walking around the building. If I had to get some food, I'll wear a mask. When I came back in the media seat, which was more spread out, I would take the mask off and feel okay. But whenever I'm like in a close vicinity with people, I throw that mask on.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man.
Were you wearing the mask in Minneapolis?
Well, yes, it was intermittent.
Yeah.
And there were people wearing it. And again, I kind of got, careless. You're going to the game, for the semifinal game, and you're going, and although you were in the media, you could go to the media, but there's crowds of people.
Yes.
You could just feel crowds of people. And of all those people, some people are infected.
Right.
So I'm telling myself I'm going back to early COVID measures, where you're always wearing a mask, staying away from people for the most part, staying away from crowds, and I guess in press boxes maybe somewhat safe.
A little, safer. Just a little better because, how if you're actually in the crowd, somebody's like, elbow to elbow with you.
Right.
At least in the press box, that's probably not the case. But
you can space yourself out.
Right.
So, yeah, man. Well, to tell everybody, just be careful. So I guess since you were raving so much about Winning Time, I guess I'll have to put that on my—
Yeah, you got to check it out.
I'll put that on my COVID list. My post-COVID list to watch Winning Time. Not to tell anybody associated with Lakers I'm doing it. Yeah. but let's try to get Jamal Wilkes.
Yeah.
Jamal Wilkes back on the show. See if he can— maybe he would get Spencer.
Yes. We can talk about— Spencer has a book out. There's some other stuff to talk about.
Yeah. We can have Spencer talk about his book, and that's great. Thanks, Spencer. But what about Winning Time?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who you got? NBA playoffs. Let's go by the series. Who you got for this Nets Boston series? What do you think happens?
I'd like to see Boston, but I just think—
You mean Brooklyn?
I'd like to see the Nets, but I just think Boston is, mm-hmm. Particularly if the Nets would have got that first victory, I thought that would have— that's significant.
Right.
So Boston, Dallas, I think that was pretty impressive. Dallas and Utah. I guess I'll go with Dallas, mm-hmm. particularly since we won't have to hear about Luka. They'll have to talk about Jalen Brunson or somebody.
Yep.
Golden State, it looks like they're just going to walk all over.
Over
Denver.
Over
and the MVP.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's going to crush Chicago.
Yeah.
It looks like Philadelphia's going— looks like they're really going to beat up on—
That's over.
Toronto. What do you think would be the best NBA finals? What do you think would be the best NBA final?
Yeah, no, I think it would be Brooklyn, Golden State. That would be the most entertaining. But I could see, if I had to be— to play it safe, I would probably say Milwaukee and either Phoenix or Golden State.
Yeah. You think that Golden State is going to get by Phoenix?
I think they have a chance. I mean, to me, you got to see more of Golden State, and you got to see if Curry can he get through this playoffs without getting hurt? Can Klay get through the playoffs without getting hurt? Can Draymond? Because all these guys had issues this year.
Right.
So, but if they are healthy going into a series with Phoenix, I think they could beat Phoenix. I'm not so sold on Phoenix. And in fact, if there was a Milwaukee Phoenix rematch in the final, I would take Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. Phoenix just hasn't convinced people. It's just so funny. People, you know, we're raving about Golden State, and that's what you're talking about, Phoenix.
Right.
You know. Right. So we'll see. But the East all of a sudden has really become really this really strong conference.
Yeah.
You know, awesome. It used to be, you know, just a couple short years ago, the East was like zero.
Yeah, it was terrible. You know? The West had everybody. Now it changed.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, good. I mean, good thing from a content standpoint, you know, that'll take us until June, yeah. Right? Till late May, June, we'll be able to, like, you know, have some diversion.
Yes. That and winning time.
Yeah. Yeah. That and winning time. I know. Unless Kareem and then find a way to shut it down. Like you said, each player is doing his own documentary. You know?
Right. They're all trying to combat it. They want to tell their story their way, you know, leave out anything embarrassing. That's fine.
Right. Well, who wants to see that?
Exactly. Exactly. You know? That's what I said. If I were them, I'd be mad too. Trust me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess as soon as we finish, what time is the first game? I'll go and watch a couple minutes of winning time. Okay. But it's game time.
It's game time. Yeah, it's worth it, Bill. It's worth it. You're just starting, so just be ready to laugh at Jerry West.
All right. Well, I'll let you know in our next when we come back.
Yes, I want your critique and review of Winning Time each episode.
Okay. In fact, I should assign that to my class. I should have them watch Winning Time.
They're probably hopefully.
In fact, I'll do that.
Watching
it. Yeah. In fact, I'll watch that. All right, man.
All right.
Well, listen. You know, it's always great catching up. And to our loyal listeners, we'll try to be a little more regular. You know, we've already had
spring break.
Well, spring break, but what do you say? What do players do?
The load management. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
we've enjoyed our load management. Now we're going into the playoffs. So
yes, my knees. Yeah, no more. Already.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, now I'll take another 5 days off, another week off. Yeah. So, all right, man. Well, listen to everybody. Stay safe. It's still out there. And stay safe. Keep listening. And God bless.
Listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.